You know, if everyone tells you that you are very good, but you yourself still feel like a failure, mm-hmm. then there's no point, right?
Good point.
You have to start accepting yourself for who you are, your strengths and your weaknesses. Then when people come and give you that validation, it matters.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode on the Good Life Podcast with me, Noor.
And me, Mizi Wahid.
Thank you so much for joining us on this podcast platform. It's all about learning, growing, and sharing from one another, where we help you unlock your inner greatness. So thank you so much for tuning in to another soulful episode. We truly do appreciate your precious time in growing with us.
And don't forget to subscribe on Spotify and also give us a follow on Instagram for regular content that will uplift you and raise your spirits high. Today's episode is brought to you by Workforce Singapore, WSG. Workforce Singapore is a stat board under the Ministry of Manpower, which helps individuals meet their career aspirations, secure quality job, and strengthens inclusiveness of workforce in the face of change.
Yeah, thank you so much, Workforce Singapore, for sponsoring this episode. And today, we are going to be deep diving on the topic of negative thinking and ways you can actually overcome it. And we have a special guest with us on the show who will be sharing his professional take on this topic. So, you know, a quick introduction of today's guest. He is a clinical psychologist with over 10 years of experience providing clinical interventions. In 2016, he founded Impossible Psychological Services. His main areas of specialization include providing interventions for depression and anxiety. He has also developed a second area of specialization in providing couples therapy for those who are facing relationship issues, you know, such as poor communication and infidelity. So apart from seeing clients, he is also a lecturer and supervisor for both undergraduate and postgraduate psychology programs in various universities in Singapore. And he is none other than Heiko!
Hi! Hi everyone!
Welcome, Heiko.
Thank you so much.
It's nice to meet you in person. I did one program with you before online.
Last month.
Yeah, we didn't get to see each other. Heiko has a very unique Instagram handle. You want to share?
Well, it's called the Psychotherapist because it's a wordplay on therapist and my favorite Avenger character, Thor. So I combine it together. So Psychotherapist. And over there, I share Avenger themes, but with mental health issues as well related in there.
Yeah, so if you still can't get enough of more Avengers, if you miss the Avengers after the end game, then you can follow.
But Shang-Chi just came out.
A new one coming out soon. Yeah, all the hype. Okay, Heiko, so thank you so much for being here. I think there's a lot we can talk about, Noria, about mental health in relation to work life. Mm-hmm. In relation to the stress that we deal with throughout our career.
Yeah.
And we can't avoid this because our jobs are the things that, well, it pays the bills, it feeds us, it supports us, sustains us, but it also consumes our life quite a bit.
Yeah.
So it's important that we talk about this topic.
Yeah. I feel that, you know, to do our jobs well, we need to make sure that our minds are also in, you know, the right state to be able to think, to function, to make good decisions as well. You know, which is why I'm super excited to see how, you know, we can overcome, you know, this very common issue. And you know what? You know, I did like a recent Instagram poll, right? You know, asking our followers what would be one thing that they want to learn to overcome. And guess what came up? You know, most of them said, oh, you know, I want to be able to, you know, overcome negative thinking. You know, I have all these negative thoughts. You know, people's opinions of me, they affect me so much. So that seems to be the very common, you know, issue that a lot of people, you know, seem to be struggling with, right? And, you know, Heiko, in your many years of experience, right, meeting people from diverse backgrounds, them coming in, bringing in their issues to you, how much, you know, does negative thinking actually consume, you know, people's lives?
Well, I have to say it is a huge influence on people's life because, well, thoughts is one thing, but thoughts drive our behavior. It drives our emotions and our responses to the situations as well. So, for example, a person with negative kind of thinking, right? When you put them in a situation where it's, say, uncertain or they have to deal with some vulnerabilities, then it'll lead them to feel that, well, you know, I probably will not be able to do this thing, right? Mm-hmm. And they may shirk away from it. And thinking also causes our emotions. And I mean, imagine if I were to ask you this, right? Try to make yourself feel sad right now, right? And people, most people will be able to get themselves to feel sad. And how would they do it, right? Would be to think of something sad that has affected them in the past.
Yep.
So the thinking is actually a gateway to a lot of responses in our life. So I would say it's a very huge factor.
Yeah, it sounds big, man. And you know, it reminds me of this particular quote that I saw once. And it says this: watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. And watch your character, it becomes your destiny. So, you know, it seems to align to what you're saying, right? Which seems to be like, you know, everything, it begins with our thoughts, the kind of thoughts that we have that really shape everything, everything. It shapes, you know, who we are as a person, the kind of lens that we put on to see ourselves and the world that we live in, right? So, you know, my question is, you know, are thoughts the only thing that we should focus on before, you know, we start seeing certain changes?
I'll say it starts with the thoughts, right? So with the thoughts, you have a good understanding, you go into your coping responses and so on. But normally what I get my clients to do first is actually to be aware of their thoughts. Mm-hmm. So of course, most people will first be aware of their emotions. So they say, you know, Haikal, I feel anxious, I feel sad or whatsoever. And I'll say that, all right, when you start feeling anxious, before that, right, what was the thought that came to your mind? Or what was this thought that came to you when you were feeling sad? And then you realize that this thought actually maintained the emotions that they're in. It actually caused them to feel even more upset or even more anxious. Mm-hmm. So I would say having an awareness of the thoughts, as what you quoted just now, is a very important thing that people have to do so that they'll be able to break that patterns that they have, you know, that with this negativity that they may manifest in.
Yeah.
In order to pay attention to your thoughts, as you said, I think it's important for some people to learn the art of separating thought from who they are. Because a lot of times they just think, I'm just a negative person.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. Right? Yeah.
People don't take that time to learn how to separate that. Is there a way? Or should we just say, oh, also, that's also part of me? You know,
That's what I do actually. It's a part of them, right? The thoughts that you have actually is drawn from your experiences through your life, mm-hmm. right? So a person who have, say, let's say a very high standards kind of thought, like, you know, I need to be perfect, I need to do everything well. There is probably a reason why they learn it that way. Mm. So perhaps it could be parental expectations, it could be the kind of pain or the failures they have experiences. And through these years, right, these thoughts became much more important to them.
Mm.
So it is partly, I would say it's partly separating it, but that will require a person to go through deep therapy to be able to separate that with the help of a professional. But for a start, as I mentioned just now, it's hard for people to just be aware of their thoughts. Because when you ask a person, right, okay, when you were doing that, what was the thinking, right? But then normally people will say, no, there was no thoughts, right? But you would try to, I would say that, well, get the emotions, understand when you were feeling that emotion, what was the thought that was driving these emotions? And most people will be able to get that. And from there, that awareness of separating, I would say separating the emotions and the thoughts, they will see that, well, how when you have this negative thinking, you have these negative emotions, they just drives it into a like deeper and deeper cycle.
Okay. Yeah. So it's about taking a few steps back.
Yes.
And analysing, you know, all those things that are going on in your head.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I think that's interesting because I think a lot of times when we feel that negative sort of feelings, right, we just go straight into feeling it. We don't take that time to kind of introspect and think like, okay, what's the, you know, probably the underlying thought that caused me to feel that way. We just ruminate and marinate ourselves in, you know, the sadness, the disappointment, and we just get stuck there.
Yeah, because the feelings are overwhelming, right? Yeah. The thoughts are something that you can push, but the feelings are just there and you feel like, oh, you know, I just don't like it. Some people are just like, oh, I just don't want to do anything, or I just try to, they'll try to escape that feelings, but they don't realize how escaping that feelings actually will cause them to feel even more unable to overcome whatever challenge that they may have.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier about the example of, oh, maybe it's something that was from childhood because their parents set such high expectations of them, or maybe perhaps the parents always compared them with their siblings and things like that. So I just want to ask a basic question. How do these thoughts come into existence? It's basically the never-ending debate between nurture versus nature. How much of it is due to our genetic condition? How much of it is from our environment growing up?
Well, if you ask me about thoughts, right? Thoughts, I would say, is a very nurture kind of thing. Nature, your emotional reactions, you know, how your body responds to stress and all that, you know, your blood responses and so on, that will be the nature part of it, right? But the thoughts itself is the nurture aspects of it. And why I say this is because when I see clients, actually, I normally categorize thoughts into negative thoughts into 18 different types of negative thoughts.
Oh,
wow. That's a lot, right?
We need a few more episodes.
So some of the most common kind of thoughts that we have, that we have, would be, one would be unrelenting standards, which I mentioned just now, right? Things have to be perfect. I need to be number one or else it's a failure. The other one would be defectiveness, right? I'm not good enough. You know, I'm useless compared to someone else. Another common example would be, let's say, abandonment. You know, people will leave me if they find someone better. You know, I'm not someone that is worth sticking with. And all this actually comes, and how do you get this 18, right? Actually comes from their experiences. So a person who comes to me, for example, with the fear of abandonment, like people will leave me, whatever, they probably have gone through some abandonment in their life. That's why they face that abandonment. The person who have this, let's say, unrelenting standards, right? I need to be the best. I don't need to make sure that I'm the top. They will really usually have some pain in their life. And for example, this is a very Singaporean thing, right? Some clients, when I ask them, they'll say that, yeah, you know, I ask them, how do you learn that this, like, unrelenting standards? And they may say things like, well, when I was, let's say, primary 5, right? And I got 98 over 100. I came home, I want to show my mom and dad. I was so proud. And then mom looked at me and said that, oh, you know, you got 98. You know, and the child was so proud, right? I'm top in class. What happened to that 2 marks? And everything crashed, right?
Oh,
so
my,
that's
so
where
painful.
The unrelenting standards kind of, I call it schemas, come in, right? So I would say it's really a lot to do with the experiences that the person has growing up as well.
Yeah.
Where is that 2 marks, Noor? Huh?
Yeah.
Where's your compassion, mom? Okay. So that's really interesting. I kind of agree with you on your points there. Makes a lot of sense because I think a lot of us, I think the common term used a lot in out there is baggages. Like we have some baggages from our past. Abandonment also including that. And when we translate this into our career, right? So if you've always set such standards and wanting to be perfect all of the time, you come into work and you're clueless because you're new, right? First month, and you're like, oh, everybody's so ahead of me. And I've met a lot of people, Heiko. Like in the first 2-3 months, they're like, I'm rethinking my job. I thought I wanted this job. I don't think I want it. And I think it's really just about them not being able to cope quick enough, fast enough. Because in class, when the teacher taught one lesson, they're like, okay, I got this. And they're setting the same standard. So what would be your advice for people, you know, professionals, you know, especially those just starting out?
I agree with what you say first, because people that come in to see me, sometimes they are not those people you think that, oh no, they are not performing well in school. They are performing very well, right? Because they can perform very well in school. That's why because this was driven by whatever thoughts that they have. And I would say that when these people have this kind of thoughts, right, they either surrender to it or they try to overcompensate for it. Right? So these two are unhealthy, right? You have to see, like, okay, what is my response to it? When you surrender, you're like, okay, you know what?
Whatever happened,
you know, I think there's no point, like, I better quit my job and so on. Or you overcompensate for it, right? You try to make sure no matter what, I'll still be number one. You're always on alert and so on. And here's the thing about work as well. The difficulty compared to school, you can work hard in school and you for sure will get 100 over 100, mm-hmm. right? You can somewhat make sure you get 100 over 100. You will make sure you can still get number one in class or whatever, right? But at workplace, how often does your boss actually praise you for doing things well? Because this is part of your job, right?
Yeah.
So this is part of, I'll say, maturity in the workplace and so on. And what I'll say, go back to like, what's the reason that you are in this job? Right, and if you feel that you are there because you want to be number one in at work, you want to make sure that you beat the rest, because it's a very different setting from school, right? So go back to the reason that you're there and kind of like tone it down, right? Because it would not be possible. The aims that you set for yourself at the workplace would not be possible, right? In school, yes, there's always a number one, but at work, it's not going to be that easy. On the other hand, if you are kind of avoiding or surrendering to it, then what will happen is being aware that when you surrender to it, you're probably letting this fear or these thoughts grow onto you even more, and you'll be even more afraid of doing it, right? So take small steps. I'll say take small steps to improve yourself. The battle is within yourself, not against like the bigger world or against your colleague and so on. Yeah.
So it's like awareness, and with the awareness, you are able to, in a way, manage your expectations better.
Mm.
And I think that will help to manage the emotions, and you know, you won't feel that sense of disappointment and probably engage in all those sort of self-defeating sort of behaviors that just, you know, won't do you good.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, because in eventually, right, these negative thoughts, the battle is against yourself as well. Right, you probably grew up trying to prove to someone, trying to, you know, try to avoid, you know, the pain of not meeting to these expectations and so on. But now as an adult, right, it's a totally different story.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So is the healthy life that you want, what you wish in terms of jobs, for example, is no longer about being the best. I mean, of course, it'd be great if you are the best, right? But, well, financial responsibility, being able to pay the bills and all that, that's as important as well.
Yeah. And, you know, when we're talking about, you know, negative thoughts, you know, I'm sure that is something that exists in a spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. That there's some that it's like, you know, kind of mild and probably won't really affect so much of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some that are really major ones that, you know, I see, you know, people being really paralyzed and crippled by having those negative thoughts. So what do you think, and especially when it comes to the workspace, right? What do you think are some of the more detrimental thoughts, if one were to have, can really have a huge impact on people's professional life? Yeah.
The most detrimental thought that a person may have. Well, it's hard to pinpoint on one, right? But I'll say, if I'm going to like narrow it down, it probably goes to the I'm not good enough. Right, because I'm good. Not good enough is just, it says nothing, but it says everything because it encompasses a lot of things. Like, not good enough in what aspect, right?
Yeah.
But it goes to, well, be it in terms of your presentation, in terms of the quality of work, your knowledge, and so on. And so there will be a lot of defeating attitudes or behavior that may result from the I'm not good enough kind of thoughts. Which is, if among the 18 different categories, I'll say this goes back to the I'll categorize it as under defectiveness.
Yeah, feeling inferior, that's pretty common. A lot of people would start off like that way because, you know, we grew up, we're so used to comparing ourselves with others, even if we didn't want to, because of the scores that we get in the report cards and everything. The ones who get called up to the podium, the ones who get selected as the leader and things like that. So then at work, you're waiting for a similar kind of reward system, but you may not always get it.
Yes.
And I think, you know, employee of the month concept is quite detrimental in itself because, like, what if the same person gets it every month? You know, like, and then the rest are like, wow, we're so worthless.
So lousy.
I think there's a lot of downside to doing something like that as well. So I agree with you. Maturity is something that we all need to look into. Like, how can I step away from all those old concepts and understand that now I'm an adult in an adult environment? Of course, there'll be some people still going to be a bit childish. That one is, you know, we can't avoid it. But we need to do our best and be at our best to the best of our abilities, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And in talking about this, I think the negative, the cycle, the vicious cycle of always constantly being stuck in the same state, you want to get out of it, You hate being negative all of the time. You hate feeling that you're not good enough.
Nobody wants to just be stuck and feeling all, you know, negative and not good at all, right? Mm. Or are there people who are like, you know, addicted to it,
do you think?
Unconsciously, perhaps.
I think they I guess what they are craving for is the validation, right? The validation that they are good enough or they are capable enough. But then that's the thing, right? You can't expect yourself to be an all-rounder to be getting all this. And if you are craving that much of a validation, something is wrong as well. I always tell my clients, I mean, this goes back to being an Avenger. I say there's only one adult that would get that kind of validation, and that's Thor, because he has his hammer, and his hammer will say that you are worthy. But everyone else, no one will be telling you that, giving you that reminder that you are worthy, that you are good enough. If you are doing good enough for a job, eventually it becomes part of what people will expect of you anyway. So you won't, maybe at the start people say, well, yeah, this guy is capable, but over time this will just become something that is normal for you, if you're good enough.
I think there's also the curse of being the best. If you're so good at what you do, people are gonna like, that's what you do, right? Like, there's nothing special about it anymore. And then you lose that validation. And by the way, talking about validation, right? How much is healthy, you know, seeking validation from others? Like, I just need one person, or, you know, 4 or 5 people. Or I need one person at home. I need one from my friendship circle. I need one at work. Like, how much is enough?
I would say it doesn't matter how much external validation, right? Eventually, the internal validation is what that matters.
The most important one?
Yeah, because, you know, if everyone tells you that you are very good, but you yourself still feel like a failure, then there's no point, right?
Good point.
You have to start accepting yourself for who you are, your strengths and your weaknesses. Then when people come and give you that validation, it matters, right? There will be people who are very good. You know, I can think of some professional sportsmen, for example. They are really good, right? But then because of this inferiority that they face, the unrelenting standards that they have, no matter how much people tell them that they are good, they still don't accept it, because that internal validation, that self-acceptance is the most important aspect as well.
Yeah. And I think that it will probably help in the start when you're really struggling. You know, people telling you that, hey, you know, I believe in you, you are good enough, you're beautiful, you're talented, you're amazing. It helps in the initial phase. But I think if we continue to put our hopes just on that, to validate our sense of worth, to feel worthy, then in the long run, it's not going to help. Because after some time, I think, you know, we're just going to be like really numb to all of that. And after some time, it's going to sound like it's just words. It doesn't really mean anything. If on the inside, you're not really working through all those stuff that is really causing you and telling you that you are not good enough.
Yeah,
certainly.
Yeah.
All right. So when we talk about career right now, there are some people who are right now jobless, or maybe they're just fresh graduates and they're hoping to get and land their dream job.
Yeah.
And then there are some others listening in who have been in a job for a couple of years now, but they're feeling more and more unfulfilled. Okay. So for these two examples, Heikel, what do you advise them? Because the ones who are trying to apply, they know that this is the pandemic. Economy is not that great, you know, and they feel like their hopes are disappearing, you know, day by day. Yes. And they apply 10 places, no replies. They apply 20 places, one interview, rejected. You know, that kind of thing, that kind of cycle. It can really affect a person. I won't deny that. I would be affected. So what would be your advice for these individuals?
Well, I'll say the situation that you are in right now, right, is not totally a reflection of yourself, right? Because there's something that's happening out there which is beyond your control. And if you are trying to blame the employment status or whatsoever on your unemployment on yourself, then it's very, very hard, because there's not much that you can do about it. So it's really important that you acknowledge that, okay, now, there's some things that I can take control of, but there are some things I can't take control of. So the things that you can take control of is, let's say, the skills that you have, your CV, right? What can I improve on that? But then those things that you can't take control of, the pandemic, you know, employees not getting back to you, that's something that you need to kind of, I think, shift away from. And do well, take control of the things that you can control, right? So that will give you a sense of empowerment rather than you looking at the whole big picture, realizing that, hey, you know, there's nothing much I can do. When you start taking control of what you can control, you feel that, well, actually, there are some small steps, at least small steps that you can take in that situation. And with these small steps, you can at least see that, like I said just now, right, is the battle within yourself. You can see that, well, you will help build your confidence. You help feel that when the next time I apply, it's not going to be another failure. Because if, let's say, you apply for 10 jobs and it's not working and you don't do anything different, then chances are you're not going to change anything at all. Once you start taking control of what you can control, when you go and apply for the next, let's say, 5 job, there'll at least be some elements of hope. There'll be some elements that, well, there's some self-improvements there. Or at least you'll be more better prepared when you have that interview. Yeah, so that's what I would say, right? Taking control of what you can control.
It's good advice.
Yeah, I really like that. I think the moment we are able to see that there are actually certain aspects in our lives that we are able to have that effective control over, it changes the level of hope that we have within. You know, we go from, oh my God, you know, I'm so helpless in this situation, there's so much despair and sadness going on, to like, you know what, yeah, you know, it's been not very ideal, not so successful, but I think I can do it. I think I can push myself a bit more and I just got to keep on going. It's a bit of that hope that keeps pushing people for a bit by bit, you know, each day. And I think that really helps.
Yeah, I think this is where I go in with my favorite analogy. I think I did this analogy last month in our online seminar as well, the analogy of riding the bicycle, right? The act of confidence comes first before actually the feelings of confidence, right? If you are waiting for yourself to feel confident, you know, I'm going to wait until I feel confident before I ride the bike, chances are you're not going to be riding
Never,
the bike.
Yeah.
Right? You need to pick up the bicycle, ride, maybe fall down, get hurt, you know, but you will start feeling confident only when you've realized that, okay, you know, I can now ride the bike. So that X comes first and then the feelings later.
Yeah.
Right? You may feel down right now, but you got to just engage in whatever acts that will get you out of this sense of hopelessness.
Absolutely. I think the power of doing, it's a superpower, right? You know, a lot of people, they feel like, oh, you know, I need to be confident, I need to be motivated before I actually engage in doing something. But I think if you were to have that mindset, you can wait long, lah. I think it'll never happen.
No, what's your bicycle? Like for me, my bicycle is riding a roller coaster. I would never.
Oh, that's mine too.
But in my head, I'm like, but what's the point? It's not going to improve my life, you know. So anyways, so how about the other one, about the person who is stuck in the job that they are finding less and less fulfilling? What would you say is a good thing for them to start shifting their thoughts towards? Because they're feeling negative for a different reason.
Yeah.
They're not finding meaning and joy anymore.
Well, the reason why they're not finding meaning and joy, there's probably a lot of reasons, right? They can just be finding their job monotonous, they're already good at what they do, or maybe people are leaving, negativity at work. There's a lot of reasons. So I'll say identify what these reasons are, right? And the thing I would say within the job itself, so there's two advice that I'll give. One is within the job itself, right? How can you find meaning in this job, right? Because in your job, let's say it's something that you're interested in, that your meaning is learning, for example, right? You want to have growth, right? Then it's about finding opportunity for growth, for example, right? If let's say connection, right, with colleagues is important, then how do you build relationship with colleagues, especially if people are leaving? Well, the other advice that I'll give is that, well, you are not your job. Of course, job is a big part of identity, right? When we meet someone, one of the first things that we say is our jobs, right? People identify you by your job. But that doesn't have to be who you are. There is something out of your job as well, right? There's more that you can do. Well, your hobbies, your families, well, you can find meaning out of it, right? But of course, if let's say, you know, you want to step out of a job, that's fine as well. If let's say, you know, especially within your job, you want to try to find that meaning and you don't find it, then I think it's perfectly fine, right? I think for you to find that meaning and for you to find joy in the role that you do.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I have a couple of friends who are unemployed, you know, right now, and they have been trying for the past many months, and it is such a downer when they try to apply and then there's, you know, nothing, no successful applications. And I feel that, yes, a job, as what you mentioned, it is important because it's somewhat, you know, gives you that sense of identity, that sense of fulfillment in life as well. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's important to not tie ourselves to the kind of jobs that we're in. And I feel that that's where it's important to kind of take that time to really reflect, you know, in terms of where we want to be heading towards, in terms of, you know, what that job actually really means to us. Mm-hmm. Because I feel that it is in that space that we give ourselves, we have better clarity in terms of what is really out there, and even in terms of what existing resources that we can leverage to increase our chances of, you know, building our skill sets up to par in terms of what the industry is really looking out for now, you know, not like, you know, a couple of years ago, but in the present moment. And I just want to share, you know, Workforce Singapore, they have this program called the SG United Mid-Career Pathways Program. And it is essentially an opportunity to provide mid-career individuals with a chance to gain industry-relevant experience through company attachment.
Yep, the program duration, which is open to all Singapore citizens and permanent residents, is up to 6 months, and a training allowance of up to $3,800 a month is also provided. For more information, select for workplace attachment if you are mid-career seeking attachment under government support on the My Career Future website, or visit www.sgunitedjobsandskills.sg.
Yep, so do check that out. Okay. Heikel, I've got another question for you,
sure.
Right? You know, with all, you know, our talk on negative thinking, do you think it is possible for one to be free of any negative thoughts in their mind? So zero negative thoughts, right? Does that type of mind even exist?
No. Even people have like 5% body fat, so cannot,
yeah.
I don't think
no, it's not possible, right? So when I see, yeah, it's certainly not possible. When I see clients, right, I they will say, no, I want to stop having these critical thoughts or whatever. But I say that, well, it's not going to be possible because these thoughts actually serve a purpose for you, right?
Yeah.
For example, if you don't have critical thought, you don't tell yourself that you're not good enough. For example, you know, you're the best ever, right? You'll probably be some narcissist, right? So we don't want that either. So how I see thoughts, right? I'm with my clients when I work with them. I see it as, well, just like this dials in front of us, the volume, right? I ask them, how loud is the volume from a 0 to 100, mm-hmm. right? And those who are affected by negative thoughts normally will say that, yeah, the volume that I hear is, say, 80%. No, it's controlling me 90%. And I ask them, like, okay, so the thoughts will always be there. How much will you want to tone it down to? And they will say, you know what would be helpful? Maybe 40%. Because these thoughts, right, they will advise me, they will tell me of like the possible dangers that there are, you know, ways that I can improve on myself, right, the standards I can set for myself. But sometimes it's just too much. So I want to tone it down to, say, 30%, 40%, right? And say, oh yeah. So I think let's try to tone it down to 30, 40%, right? But to totally get rid of that thoughts is certainly not possible.
Yeah. So if you were to describe a healthy mind,
mm-hmm.
what does a healthy mind look like and how does it navigate through life?
Well, I wouldn't be able to say what a healthy mind looks like, but I will be able to describe what a healthy mind is able to do.
Right? Okay.
A healthy mind, it will be able to manage both the logic and emotions, right? The more unhealthy the mind is, the more the emotions have a control over us. Mm. And the thing about emotions versus logic, we normally think of our mind being this logical kind of aspects of our life, right?
Yeah.
But actually our mind, it mainly follows our emotions, right? They give in to the emotions and then make rational decision based on our emotion. Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to give a very easy example, right? Let's say you want to be healthy, you want to watch your diet or whatever, right? Someone offers you a piece of chocolate, that temptation comes in, right? Before you know it, your hand reaches out for it and your mind then goes, yala, you know, tomorrow you can start exercising. Oh, you know, it's just one piece of chocolate, nothing. Yeah. Our mind just kind of gives in to these emotions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a healthier mind will be able to control our emotions,
mm-hmm.
right? By giving us the balance in terms of the logical perspectives of it.
Yeah, I feel guilty. I ate ice cream on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Guilty, not guilty. Okay, if you could pick one key tool that every individual should have or learn to have that will help them in building a more resilient mind, what would it be?
I would say separating the mind from their emotions, right? There are a lot of tools now, right now. You know, you have things like the most common, most popular one right now would be mindfulness, right? Being more mindful, slowing things down, right? Being aware right now, what am I thinking? What's the emotions that I'm feeling? What am I doing? Because we tend to engage in a very mindless kind of way, right? We just do because of habits, because, well, that's how I normally do things, right? We are just used to it. And most of the time when people come to me for therapy, they'll say that, oh, it's very hard. I say, yeah, I'll acknowledge that it's very hard because you are trying to undo things that you have been doing for the past, I don't know, 20 years, 30 years, right? In a matter of a few days, right? But by being able to be mindful, right? Be able to slowing things down, be able to kind of separate your emotions, your thoughts from the situation, it makes it easier. So I would encourage anyone out there, right? If let's say you are trying to deal with negative thoughts, right? To kind of be aware, right? The emotions that you have, the thoughts that you have, and how this kind of thinking actually impacts or in fact drive the emotions that is that you are experiencing.
Yeah, mindfulness is a topic that we've done before, right, Nor? Because we also believe that it's important for us to be more present, more aware of everything that's going on the inside as well as on the outside. Yeah,
I think we talk a lot about mindfulness, about just like, you know, slowing things down because I think, I don't know, we have this mindset of everything must hurry up, quick, 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 everything must quick, right? So even in terms of how we process stuff is quick, 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 quick. Then we don't even really see or break down in terms of the things that's really going on, the complex stuff that's going on inside our heads. And we just simplify, oversimplify stuff and we're like, okay, this is what I'm going through.
It could be a Singaporean thing too, Haiko. Because my friend from Thailand, he said that when he went to Singapore, he said, Singaporeans don't walk, they run. We don't know how to chill, man.
But it's so true, you know. Like, you know, I think when it comes to taking breaks, having rest, right, I find that, I think we Singaporeans, we find it really hard to have a quality break, you know. We feel guilty. Every time we have to rest, we're like, alamak, you know, I have to do this, must quickly do this. Or when you watch Netflix, like, God, you know, but I shouldn't be watching Netflix. It's so unproductive. I'm so lazy. Why am I doing this?
Yeah. even I have clients, even when in last time when we can go for holidays, right? To them, holiday, right? I need to maximize my holiday. I need to do.
That sounds very Singaporean, right?
Right. So, and we are all guilty. And that's what mindlessness does for us, right? It just makes us do the same pattern over and over again. And it's hard for us to break away from that.
Yeah, I feel that because of that, we go into zombie mode. Like, we're just like, you know, just walking through life and not really consciously living life.
And the danger behind that is whatever patterns, the unhealthy patterns that we have been engaging in, continues to run.
And I still believe that that could have been influenced by the people around us, you know. So, be wary of the people you surround yourself with. I think that's key. Just by talking to the right people, you know, talking to people like Heikel, I think, can help a lot as well. Immersing yourself in the right environment can help open up your mind to options, which can help you get unstuck in your life. One of the initiatives that you, our dear listener, can tap on by Workforce Singapore is the virtual workshops and seminar, which is open to all Singaporeans at no cost at all. Each month, the Workforce Singapore conducts virtual workshops and seminars covering a wide range of career-related topics. Some of the sessions that you may find useful include personal mastery for career success, coping with change, and the 8 pillars of a positive mindset. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So if you are keen to pick up important job search knowledge and techniques and build their professional networks through online career improvement classes organized by WSG, you can find out more at www.ssg-wsg.gov.sg/events.
Yeah, I think that is really great that, you know, Workforce Singapore has such initiatives where people can attend, you know, virtual workshops and seminars. And in times like these where, you know, it's hard for people to, you know, come together physically to go for physical classes, it's very convenient that it's held online, you know. So, you know, people can just pick the list of topics that they are keen on attending and just attend them. And, you know, I've been through that phase, you know, finding a job and being so demotivated. And I think just by shifting what I'm doing in terms of spending time with people who knew what they were doing, right? They've had that experience in, you know, many jobs, and attending all these upgrading seminars and workshops, it helped me to open up my world to a world filled with opportunities instead of one where I felt that, you know, no hope lah. You know, I think I'm not good enough to, like, you know, apply for jobs out there. The moment I met more people, network, build up my professional network, I felt really confident of, you know, my own self. I felt confident of the direction that I wanted to be heading towards life. So, you know, to the listeners out there, you know, if you are feeling stuck, you know, and especially in your career life right now, you are feeling like, I don't know what to do. You know, look at what you're doing right now, right? If it's not working, then allow yourself to try something different, right? Mm. Push yourself outside of the comfort zone. Meet new people, talk to different people, you know, go for all these courses. It will really help you a lot.
Mm. Yeah, so Heiko, thank you so much. We've been enjoying talking to you about this topic. We've learned a lot as well. Before you take your leave, any last words of wisdom for all of our wonderful listeners?
Right. So, if you're talking about this topic of negative thinking, right, I want to highlight that, firstly, you are not your thoughts, right? Your thoughts, they are loud, they may dominate you, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. Most of the time, it's partly true, right? But if you give into it, then it becomes very extreme. And you will then make it to be true. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? So it's really up to you to be able to break that prophecy, right? If your mind is telling you that you're not good enough, you're not capable, right? And you give into that, you surrender, or you try to overcompensate for it, right? Then chances are it will happen. Yeah. Right. So it's again up to you. You have the means to cope with it. And then we have all these, you know, wonderful strategies or initiatives that will be able to support you. You can find support within yourself as well, right? The people around you, getting help from your network. It's not the end of the line. Mm. There's things that you can do to take control of your life.
Awesome. I mean, Noor, we're so happy to have a therapist, also an Avenger at the same time, in our studios. Thank you, Heiko. Wish you the very best in endeavors, and you know, may your company continue to prosper and help more people, I think.
Yeah.
And yeah, I hope you will be open to being a guest once again.
We learned so much. I mean, like, I think it's probably like just a small fraction
I'm still bothered by the 18 categories.
We only mentioned three or four. Yeah.
So that's his way of.
Was it something that you came up with? Like,
no. I mean, this is scientific fact, and I use this to guide me in working with my clients.
Yes. Awesome.
Cool. That will probably be for another episode. So stay tuned, y'all. So thank you so much, Heiko, you know, sharing your wealth of wisdom. We learned so much, and I'm sure the listeners out there has too. You know, please take down notes, share with us your insights, and you know, we can't wait to really read all that you've learned. So, you know, thank you so much, Workforce Singapore, for sponsoring this episode. Workforce Singapore is a stat board under the Ministry of Manpower. It's a government body that helps individuals meet their career aspirations, secure quality jobs, and also helps to strengthen inclusiveness of workforce in the face of change. So find out more at www.wsg.gov.sg, or you could call in the WSG hotline at 6883-5885. So thank you so much, dear one, for listening all the way through. We truly do appreciate your time, and we can't wait for you to listen to the next episode. In the meantime, be bold, be beautiful, and stay the amazing you that you are. Take care, dear one. Bye.